It is our real privilege to be back here and meeting some of those old friends and meeting you all, those who are new here. And I remember the time I came here, we stayed with Cha and family, and we had a good time going around seeing Brisbane, the botanical garden, getting a ride in the boat, and so many places he took us. And I gratefully remember those family, and especially, you know, the sister who is with the Lord, resting with the Lord. And also I praise God for his children. They are also equally good. So I praise God for them too, and every one of you here. And as I was thinking of what to say here, you know, I prayed to the Lord, and he gave me a message. And I would like to give a short message, and then I have a PowerPoint presentation to show you about our work. So I will finish in 30 minutes, don't worry. Because in India, you know, people just sit there, 3 hours, 4 hours, they will attend the church. But here that is not the case. When you are starting looking at the watch, I know this time. Okay, we will read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 29. Do you not know that the race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So this is the verse came to me. You know, we read there, you have to run the race to get the prize. There are many who are running. So it is not just taking part in the race, but running your best to attain the prize. And not only that, it says, we have to run in such a way to get the prize. So what do we need to get the prize? The following verses say, strict training. It is talking about physical thing. You know, those who play cricket, those who play rugby, all, you know, how rigorous training they are taking. They are willing to give up other things and concentrate on their aim or their goal. And it is applicable in our spiritual life also. You know, Paul says, physical exercise is profitable, but spiritual exercise is profitable of all. And the same, you know, message is communicated here also. And then it goes on to say, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. Sometimes it happens in our spiritual life. We don't know where we are heading to. You know, we go to church, we do everything, but sometimes we are confused. We are not sure where we are heading to. Am I right? Oh, you are not sure whether I love the Lord as I ought to, whether I am laboring for Him as I ought to. And that kind of confusion is brought in your mind, our brain, by Satan. And he is, you know, not very happy if you go in a spiritual way. He tried to discourage you, not only that, he tried to defeat you. But here it says, Paul says, I'm not running aimlessly. I have a goal, I have an aim. I do not fight like a man beating the air. You know, it is about boxing. It is not beating the air, but I have a real aim. Then he goes on to say, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. How you get disqualified? Not running according to the rules, isn't it? That is where you get disqualified. So Paul is very aware of the fact that he has to run the race according to the rules, and he has to prepare himself physically and spiritually that he win the prize. I may not get disqualified for the prize. When you study the Bible as a whole, there are many characters in the Bible, Old Testament characters, like Joseph, King Solomon, and many others in the New Testament, Timothy, and Paul, many characters are there. I love to study these characters, how they run the race, and how they worked for the Lord, they labored for the Lord. I have a real passion for doing that. The other day I was looking into the life of Samson. You know, a man who started well but could not finish well. What do we want to do? We want to start well, and not only that, we want to finish well. So we look into the life of Samson. What made him to be defeated in his God-given vision or God-given task? Number one, you are reading that from Judges chapter 13, verse 24 and 25. Judges chapter 13, 24 and 25. Here we see about Samson. He had a good start, good beginning, because he had a miraculous birth. He was chosen even before his birth by God for a purpose. And not only that, he had a wonderful growth and he had a wonderful strength, physical strength. And also we see that he was empowered by the Spirit of God. There we read, the Spirit of God stirred him. The Spirit of God moved him. So he went and did so miracles, wonderful things for the Lord. But in Judges chapter 16, verse 30, we read about him like this. Judges chapter 16, verse 30. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Now this is the sad story. He died with the ungodly. He was born of godly parents and a miraculous birth and wonderful blessing upon him, and the Spirit of God was with him. But it is a sad ending for him. He died with those who do not know the living God. And the Bible goes on to say about him, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. That we read in chapter 16, verse 20. He did not know that the Lord had left him. A spiritual man didn't know the Lord had left him. This can happen to us sometimes, you know. If you are not living closer to the Lord, if you are not spending time with the Lord, not only time for the sake of it, but quality time with the Lord, you know, this can happen to us also. We can keep on doing the same exercise. We can keep on, you know, telling the same story, witnessing everything. It has become a habit or automatic. But it doesn't bear fruit because it is not from the Lord. Many people, you know, you can tell a story, you can know how to witness, 4 point to witness, 5 point to believe, and all those things, you know, by hearted. You just automatically tell it, but there is no power in it. Because he lost touch with the Lord, he didn't even know that the Spirit of God left him. So there are some reasons I can mention here why he lost all those blessings from the Lord. Number one, he lacked spiritual discernment. He lacked spiritual discernment. His parents gave him the vision. The parents told him why he was born and everything. But he was a man who lacked wisdom. And also he lacked spiritual insight. God selected him for a purpose, but he lost it. He lost the vision because of his proudness. And because of he didn't worship God, he went after other gods. And because of his life, you know, no discipline in his life, he was always angry and wanted to take revenge. You know, he always wanted to be up in front and wanted to show his strength and his, you know, the power that is given to him. And also, we see another reason. He couldn't distinguish between good and profitable. That is very tricky, you know. Everything is good. But even from that, we have to choose what is profitable. Apostle Paul says that many a time in the epistles, you have to choose good, that is all right, but among good, what is profitable, what is good for us. He failed to do that. And he failed to know that enemy will not play according to the rule. You know, he thought that I can get away with it. I can do like this. I can do like that. But he didn't know that enemy will not, Satan will not play according to the rule. He wants us to keep, you know, in confusion saying that, oh, you know when to stop it. You know when to start it. So think that we have all it in our control. But he failed to address that. And we see that he failed to... He fed the desire with the wrong things. You know, he had egoism. He fed his desires with the wrong things. He never repented in his life. And he never renounced sin in his life. And therefore, he didn't have any reconciliation with God. So he never repented what he did. And he never renounced. He is supposed to leave it. And unless you repent, you cannot leave your sin. And he failed to deal with sin then and there. You know, you try to say that everybody is doing that. I also did it. What is wrong with that? That is not what the Bible says. We have to deal with sin then and there. Immediately, you know, don't wait for 3 days. It says we have to deal with sin immediately, ruthlessly. You know, you cannot show mercy. And finally we see that we have to deal with our sin completely. There should not be any root left out. We have to deal with that completely. And we see that, you know, sometimes it happens unawares in our life. And we think that we use our logic and we wanted to, you know, forgive ourselves. But that is not the word of God says. So don't leave any roots of bitterness in our life. And again, we see that he refused to listen to anyone. His parents advised him. And, you know, like us, there are many people, many counselors, but he didn't want to listen to any of them. And he discarded the boundaries set by God. And that is happening to us also, you know. Sometimes the world fashion or whatever it is, you know, if you go to a shop, they will say that, oh, nowadays this is the fashion. Everybody is wearing this. Okay, give it to me. We take it. We have to decide what I want to wear, you know. Things like that, you know, the business world is forcing upon us. But here we see about Samson. He discarded the boundaries. God has set boundary for us. It should be clearly marked. You can play in a court which is not clearly marked. You do not know whether the ball was in or out. And that is the world wants us to do. You know, not clear boundaries marked. But in our spiritual life, it should be clearly marked. Visible lines should be there, and we should not cross over and fall into temptation and fall into the world standard. You know, you think that once in a while it is no problem, and it becomes occasionally, and then, you know, you like to cherish, you know, your secret sins. Nobody knows, but God knows. So this is, you know, what I want to say. Be faithful, and that is what God expects from us. When you are children, when we were children, dad can say, no, no, we understood. We come back, isn't it? When the children go to take something, we say, no, no, they understand the message, they come back. They know the boundary, I can go only this much. Then when they become young people, we tell them, don't stay outside too long at night. Come back home very early. And then when we become old people or senior citizens, what is a message for us? Don't overeat. Is it right? So, you know, there are many rules set in the Word of God for our good, for our admonition. From the life of Samson, you know, we have to learn many things, you know. Don't take a sin lightly. Don't take God's word lightly. We should be serious about dealing with sin. Serious about, like Paul said, you know, I train myself, I beat my body to keep it under control, under discipline. That is what we need to do if we have a constant walk with the Lord. Otherwise, there will be ups and down, it keep on happening. But may God continue to help us to have a constant, steady, continual walk with the Lord without, you know, any failure, and his name may be glorified. So I have how many minutes? 10 minutes?
When you finish, you finish.
Okay. We will look into the slides. Something here. Yeah. I can come here, no problem. Oh, okay. I didn't see that. That's about work. In Chhattisgarh, that is one of the states in India, and we are in central part of India. Though it is called North India, we have only South and North, no middle. South India means all the Dravidian speaking people, you know, Dravidian languages. And North India means all the Indo-Aryan languages. So that is a divide. And India is like 25 countries put together. Because we have more than 25 languages, major languages in India, and all these states are divided according to the language. So 25 countries put together. That is United States of India. So when we went into the people group, they looked like this, but now they don't look anymore like that. They also watch TV, and they have you know, so much exposure to the outside world, and they also want to look respectable and spend all their money for buying clothes, sometimes no money for buying food because of all these new things introduced. And these are people in the market. You can see them wearing more clothes, but they haven't left their old habit of drinking. So they may have good dress and everything, but old habits never die. So the woman sitting there holding a leaf cup, disposable cup, and the thing inside is liquor or alcohol. So like us, you know, when we come together, we drink tea and coffee or, you know, cold drinks. So for them, they don't have all those things, so they drink what is available. And there is some of the converts or believers, those who come to our church, and they come out from this people group. Come out means in the sense they live there, but all the old habits and things, God, the Spirit of God has convicted them. They left all those things and they come to worship the living God. And there is something special from our place. Over it is written, red and chutney. So you have so much of pickle here, isn't it? But here, this is good for pickling. So that is called red, and you can catch them from the jungle on trees. And they actually squeeze them so they won't run away. So and they are... Some are half dead, some are full dead. So this is grinded with ginger, garlic, and coconut, grated coconut. Yum. And it is yum, yum. Yeah. So there are many beautiful places near to our place. This is a waterfall called Tirathgarh, and you know, it is like Niagara of India. And the same waterfall in the rainy season, and you can see, you know, so much of water there. And this is another waterfall called Tirathgarh, and when visitors come, we take them to these waterfalls, and there are many natural caves in that place where there is lime melting. You know, like chandelion, it is melting there, and so many things to see there. And this is something you would like here, no seat belt. And no police, you know, you don't have to keep the traffic rules. So, so this is how people travel, and if you don't get in somewhere there, there is no other vehicle to go to your village. So if you can fit in, you can go. If you don't fit in there, you have to walk. And, you know, the same thing happening. Women get up on the jeep and they load their things, whatever they purchase from the market. So they have to load it on top and go to the villages. And there you see the map of India. We are located in that shaded area. It is, you can say, central east. You know, we are not very far from Calcutta. It takes only 26 hours train ride to get to our place from Calcutta. So that is a zoom map of that state. And we are stationed in Bastar, you know, on the bottom it is written Bastar, that one district, that is a zoom of that district, the population and the number of tahsil. Tahsil means like a council. And population, you know, if you look at that, you know, it is a population of maybe all of Brisbane in one district. And we went into that place in 1982. We didn't know the language, and language was not written. It was only a spoken language. So by listening to the people, being with them, we learned that language. And we analyzed the sound system of that language and decided upon the alphabet. How many letters should be in the alphabet? How do they decide the alphabet, you know? In English, 26 letters. In other, you know any other language? Chinese, how many letters? Unending. Yeah. So they analyze the sound system and decide how many letters you need for the alphabet. In English, you have less alphabet because one letter got more than one sound. So it makes it very difficult for non-English people to learn English. And the other thing is funny about English, no standardized form of spelling. Yeah. So these are some of the barriers for us, like non-English speaking people. But praise the Lord, in our language, one letter has only one sound. So anybody reads it, read the same way. You know, nobody will read it E or A, you know. Elephant and egg. You are writing E, but reading A. Isn't it? Okay. If I go with that, my time will go. So after learning the language, analyzing the sound system and making the alphabet, we analyze the grammar. The grammar is already in the language. Only thing, it was a spoken language. Without grammar, we cannot speak. They also say, tomorrow I will go, yesterday I went. So grammar is there. What makes it singular, plural, masculine, feminine? So what is the system? That is what we discovered and write up the grammar. And after teaching these people to read and write, we started literacy program in the villages, various villages, with the government, help of the government. And these literacy books were used by people. And we have educated 1,500 people in those days. Now a lot more people are literate. So we are translating Bible and Bible stories and giving them to read. And regarding Bible translation, these four people, they are native Halbi mother tongue speakers. They are helping us with the translation. So they come every day except Sunday and do the translation. And what we have translated go through various processes. Like village check, you know, we read it out to the villagers and see whether they can understand. If they don't understand, something wrong in our translation. It may be a grammar problem, it may be a naturalness problem. You know, we have to find out and get it corrected. And releasing the book called Story of Jesus. And some of the books we have translated into their languages. And this is releasing of the Gospel of Luke. And on the left, you see they are all local pastors. And on the right, the Wycliffe or SIL persons who came for the releasing ceremony. And this is a consultant check. We have a consultant from Australia, Fadingham. He is Dr. Warren Glover. He lives in Melbourne. And he comes to our place, you know, twice in a year and check our translation. You can see a consultant check session. All the passages are there. And mother tongue speakers, so if he got any problem or doubt, he can directly ask them through us, of course. They will speak back in Halbi. We will translate into English. And this is releasing of Hebrew and Revelation. Dr. Warren Glover did the releasing. And also we have published a dictionary for these people, Halbi, Hindi, English, a triglot. So it is welcomed by the government and the education department. And because of the education or language development work, we have a good standing with the community, with the government. So we praise God for enabling us to do that. And this is about church planting. That is the first ever meeting of Christians, you know, we had in the village. That is about 30 years old picture. And now we have a place to meet together. That is our church building. The ground floor is used for the church, and the first floor is used for translation and various other purposes. People, those who come, they stay there and continue the work. And that is from the first group, the boy on the left and the girl on the right, both of them took baptism, joined the church, and we had few baptisms. And we don't have the baptistry, so we go to the pond. And whether the water is clean or dirty, it doesn't matter. What matters is, you know, they get baptized. Amen. And we used to go out to the villages for preaching. You can see the sticks and in the remote villages. And we are coming back from village outreach. Our children are there, Christine and David. They are no more young. Christine is 30 years old and David is 27 years old. So our campus is used for various activities like youth camp. Sorry. And this is the way we make a tent outside and people sit there and we have the meetings going on there. And this is about our children's work. We have a compassion project and we have 252 children registered. And we take care of their spiritual, cognitive, physical needs. And we stand for the right of the children, right to survive, right to protection, and so many, you know, what is forbidden by the parents. We are educating them, creating awareness that your children should go to school, not working for others. And that is a campus. You can see this side. And the church at the far end, the children are standing in queue for getting their meals. So we have two meals a day. Morning, we will have rice and curry. Evening, we will have curry and rice. So that is the campus there. You can see from this far end. And these are the staff who take care of the children. Manager, social workers, accountant, you know, teaching staff, cooking staff. So they take care of the children. And children are given all their needs, you know, like buckets. They don't have running water, so they have to draw water from the pond and wash clothes and everything. And our children are good in games, so they went for cricket and they won it, you know, like Australia, India, crazy for. So In the villages also, you know, this craziness for cricket is there. They don't have a proper bat. They make their own from a piece of wood and hit it. And we take these children to various places for exposure. So once they were taken to Vishakhapatnam, 300 kilometers away, to see the sea. And the first time they were traveling in a train, and it was a big exposure for them, eye-opener. So they enjoy the sea. And we celebrate national festivals and take care of their spiritual needs. We conduct a VBS for them. And from the center, after conducting VBS, the grown-up children will go to nearby villages and call all the village children, and we have a VBS for them. And William was faithfully supporting us for the conducting VBS for last many years, and we are very thankful to him for that. And that is a big occasion, Christmas celebration. Last year we had 800 people coming for that occasion. You can see them, you know, crowded, and they were all given a good dinner, Christmas dinner. So we have exercise and many activities for children, plus we have program for parents, parent health checkup, and they are given free medicine, and doctors will check them and decide what medicine they need. And year 13, we had a wider health checkup. Few people from the states came, and we had the surrounding villages, about 10 villages, came for a health checkup. This is just welcoming those who came to Thokapal. While they wait to see the doctor, we have tent outside. While they wait, we present the gospel to them. So, you know, they don't object at that time. And we had almost 100 decisions made during this waiting. We had this program for 4 days. 900 patients were taken care. And next year also, we are planning to have a camp like that. You could be praying for that. And we have Jesus film in this language now. So we are translating the manuscript into Halbi. You know, three of the people on the left, they were radio artists. So we took them and they gave their voice, and Jesus film is there. And in spite of all this business, Grace could complete her MTH, and we thank God for that. And you may see some people there. Yeah, so that is when they came to our place. And father and son. Yeah, these are the praise items. I will not read it for you. So we would ask you to pray for us to publish the old New Testament. We were publishing them book by book. Now we are going to finish that by middle of next year. So please pray for us. And that's us and our contact address. Thank you very much. Sorry for taking little time. Ha 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 ha.